Well, greetings once again to all of Turdville. It is Thursday, June 23, a day which may or may not live in infamy. And this is your weekly A2A presentation. And man, oh man, could we not have a better guest lined up for you today? Couldn't be more timely than to bring in Greg Mannarino. Greg, as most folks around here know him, he's an independent trader, runs a great site, traderschoice.net. And with all of the madness that may or may not be coming in the next 24 to 36 hours, what a perfect time to bring in Greg. Greg, thanks for spending some time with us.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, before we get started, tell everybody, for those folks that don't already follow you or know about your service, tell everybody about it and where they can find you.
Well, I've been out here for a bunch of years now, like yourself, trying to enlighten people as to the current disgusting, frankly, situation that has been created globally. This debt issue encompassing the world has created some epic distortions across the spectrum of asset classes. I've been trying to put a light on that, trying to put a perspective on the global economic situation as well, and basically trying to figure out how we can make this work for us, not against us, because we both know, and I'm more than certain that your followers know, the system is completely rigged against us. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean we can't figure out a strategy or strategies to make it work. There's no reason at all why we should sit back and be sheared in this environment. So that's pretty much what I've been doing for the longest time, or what I continue to do. It's kind of like a mission of mine. And just, again, to just put a real picture on what's going on. Not the mainstream nonsense, not the garbage distractions, focusing on what's actually happening and why, and again, how we can profit from it.
You know, and for anybody listening, it's been around this site for a while. You can see why Greg and I, when we met, struck up a friendship, because he sees obviously the world the way we see it. But at the same time, that's what we've always said here at TFMR. If you understand that the metals are manipulated, then you can use that kind of foreknowledge to your advantage should you want to trade. And Greg looks at the whole world and sees it that way and trades just about everything. Right, Greg?
Absolutely. I think the easiest way to put it, like, you know, a lot of people don't understand the very basics of market dynamics. What I mean by that is the movement of cash through the markets. For example, let's just say we get, and this is not going to happen, but let's just say we get a vote to Brexit. Brexit, you know, it actually happens. It's not going to. But let's just say this would happen. What would that cause to happen? It would cause a risk-off environment, meaning people would run for the hills out of the stock market. You would see cash move into the bond market, the debt market, and you would also see cash move into precious metals. Now, the environment we're in is deliberately being engineered to keep the risk-on trade going, meaning people should have nowhere to go except equities. This is the deliberate, and I'm not making this up, and I'll put a perspective on it so people can understand. This is the deliberate environment being created. World central banks are buying up debt. They're suppressing interest rates. They're not only buying government debt, the ECB is now buying corporate debt here. I also believe that the central banks are using what's called dark pools to buy actual stock, to keep all this moving in that direction, higher, higher, higher market. So this is creating an environment of risk. When you have this, and this is not a unique phenomenon with regard to a bull market, when you have this is an engineered bull market, but let's say we had a real bull market, you always get the risk-off trade, which it tends to be, again, the precious metals here, but we've never seen it to this degree before. And that is, again, and we also know for a fact that there is a deliberate mechanism in place here to keep the prices of gold and silver suppressed at this time. Now, I look at this, and I smile from ear to ear, and I've been saying this for the longest time. I don't care what they do. When I'm holding the hard asset, speaking about trading things, I rarely, almost never, we'll trade the paper derivative, SLV, GLD, because they're not real. There's no price discovery mechanism here whatsoever. And it's completely manipulated. So I stay away from that. I know what aspects of this market to stay away from. There you go. But understand, this risk-on environment will not continue on forever. There's no free market whatsoever. World central banks have taken it all over in every conceivable way. Again, even these dark pools, I believe they're using. And but this is going to reverse. And when it reverses, we're just going to simply see cash moving into suppressed assets, and that is gold and silver. They're going to rise exponentially moving forward. At one point, again, it's all linked to the debt bubble, and this debt bubble is going to burst at one point.
Well, all right. I'm not going to find a lot of folks disagreeing with you on this side, that's for sure. Again, we do these A2A presentations, try to do them every Thursday, and we use this GoToWebinar format so that everybody that's listening along can submit questions in real time for me to relay on to Greg or whomever the guest may be. On your GoToWebinar control panel, there is a tab for questions. You click it, and you'll see you have a dialog box. So I've got a question for Greg, but then from there, anybody that wants to ask Greg about just about anything, just type it in that dialog box, and we'll ask it of him. But Greg, first and foremost, I've got a little bit after 3 o'clock Eastern time here on Thursday, June 23rd. The polls in London close in 2 hours. Of course, there are no exit polls. Apparently, they're going to be counting these things on paper ballots where people had to fill out, I guess, bubble sheets with pencils. My goodness gracious. Knowing all this, and again, as you mentioned, it's hard to believe that the vote will go through because whatever the City of London wants, the City of London usually gets. However, you make your living trading. So at this moment in time, how do you manage risk? How are you positioned? And what are you going to be watching over the next few hours?
I know this. This is an illusion. We don't matter anymore here, Craig. The presidential election here in the United States has already been decided. The Brexit has already been decided here, and it's not in our favor. The world is being run by world central banks colluding with their respective governments. The European Union, this is not going to happen. However, with that said, how am I trying to capitalize on this? I currently own calls on ticker SPY, September 2014 calls. Already making cash there, but in the extremely rare event that this does go through, I have hedged my position, which I tend to do anyway. I have puts. I have a small put position against that position, SPY July 206 puts. I had a 1-4 hedge. Now I'm using a 1-8 because again, I think the chance here of this happening are pretty much at zero. And I'm expecting the market to rally moving forward into that. So that's how I'm trying to capitalize on this at that point. But just talking about precious metals here, and I just did a video about this today. It's on my site, traderschoice.net. I talked about how the Brexit is going to affect precious metals. And if you were to turn on the mainstream financial channels, first of all, if you do that, just sit back and, you know, get ready to either vomit or laugh, you're going to hear them talking about how this is going to affect the pound, how it's going to affect the euro, how it's going to affect the dollar, how it's going to affect the yen. But they're not going to talk about real money. They're not going to talk about how the Brexit either way is going to affect gold and silver. I think it's extremely bullish either way. Let's say in the extremely rare event, extremely rare, in fact, I think it's never not going to happen at all, you would expect this to be extremely bullish for precious metals if there were a Brexit. Why? Because again, this goes back to what we just spoke about. Risk on would become risk off. Cash doesn't go to money heaven. It will rush into bonds. It will rush into suppressed assets. In the most likely scenario, they stay in. Well, what does that mean for gold and silver? Again, bullish. Why? The central banks are going to inflate and inflate. And inflate, they can't stop this. So we need to bet against the system. We need to become our own central bank. My two themes since day one. and understand these are not trades. I would be willing to bet that your listeners get it. They know these are not trades. These are, you're betting against debt by holding a hard asset. These are real things. They're not the fiat currencies that these mainstream financial people are talking about. Oh, let's see how it's going to affect the yen. No, maybe it's going to affect the euro like this, and the pound is going to do this. Are you kidding me? Let's talk about real money. Okay, I don't want to hear about this nonsense. It's just too much.
No, I hear you. And it will be interesting. I've been reminding people all week, gold is down $50 on the week. And why? Because all of a sudden, England's going to remain in the euro? That come on, give me a break. Sooner or later, people got to get back to what happened last week with the FOMC and the terrible U.S. job situation and everything else.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. You know what I want people to do? Just take a second of your day. Go to the Federal Reserve website, federalreserve.org. In the search, put in amount of currency in circulation. The total amount of cash, printed cash, that exists on Earth right now is $1.4 trillion. That's it. That's from the Federal Reserve's own website. Meanwhile, the commercial banks here in the United States are apparently holding $11 trillion worth of deposits. So that should put a perspective on it. It's credit and it's debt. The cash is not there. The only cash existing on Earth today, as we speak, is $1.4 trillion. Meanwhile, here in the United States, apparently we have a $20 trillion debt. How is it possible? Unfunded liabilities, over $100 trillion. How is $1.4 trillion of actual cash going to ever pay that back? Can't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people need to understand what's going on here. And I'd be willing to bet that most people listening to this had no idea about what I just said. And I want people to verify that on their own, what I just said. Go to the Federal Reserve website and check it out. You will see that I am 100% correct.
And you are, and I would add too, that's all part of the reasoning when you get people like Larry Summers and these other system apologists and promoters that talk about not necessarily eliminating all cash, but let's just eliminate that $100 bill because that's only used by drug smugglers and gamblers and people with other involved in other nefarious activity. But if you remove the $100 bill, you remove about 60% of that cash. So this war on cash is coming, and it has to do with negative interest rates, no doubt about that. I've got a couple questions coming in, though, Greg. I probably better just dive right in because I know everybody wants to hear from you on these things. This first question comes from Mike, who has a question about silver. He says, regarding silver, do you think it will be a better bet because the price will go to fair value and stay there, or because it is twice as volatile as gold and the surge will be so much greater at some point?
Well, when I look at the price of silver, I look at the ratio between the price in dollars with silver. I look at the ratio between gold and silver. It is absolutely distorted. I'm not even sure what it is right now. 70 to 1, 60 to 1, 80 to 1, is something like that. Historically, it's about 15 to 1.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact number. Do you know? All I know is it's 74, way out.
74, 75, something like that.
That's incredible. And I also look at the gold to Dow ratio as well, just to price all of this together. And I've said this, I believe, and I still stick by this, at one point we are going to see gold twice the Dow, at least on par with the Dow. And let's say, what does that mean? Let's say we get Dow 6,000, we're going to get gold 6,000, and you can imagine what that means for silver once it regains its normalized ratio here. So I think of silver as gold on steroids big time because of that ratio, all these ratios we just spoke about.
And if anything, that ratio tells you just how distorted this paper derivative pricing scheme has messed with the price. If historically it's 15 to 1 and now it's 75 to 1, that's telling you there's something uneconomic behind the pricing. Does it not?
Absolutely, absolutely. It really, and I'm going to say this again, and I've been saying this for years, silver is the most undervalued asset on Earth, at this point. I can't imagine one other thing I would rather hold than physical silver right now. There's nothing else that even comes close.
Next question deals with the silver paper derivative market. It's come from Joshua, and he's noting what we track here every day, and that's the open interest in COMEX gold and silver. COMEX silver's open interest is now a record high, up again yesterday. Now over the amount, think about this, Greg, the amount of paper ounces on the COMEX is 120% of the amount of global annual mine supply. I mean, how does that, I mean, that doesn't even, so anyway, Josh wants to know if you follow that kind of stuff in your trading and what you make of it. Is it any kind of a signpost of what might be coming?
I look at it, I don't really follow that too closely because it's not real, as you just stated. It's not real. Nothing is real. The environment we're in is completely fake across the board. I just know this, and it's just the most common sense piece of information in the history of the world. That is, again, looking at the amount of non-existent or digital printed dollars that are on Earth versus the amount of real money, and I'm referring to gold and silver that is on Earth, that ratio is staggering. So again, what does this just mean in the grand scheme of things? It goes back to my two premises since day one. Be betting against this. Understand the system is not sustainable. Meanwhile, they're going to try to keep it propped up through any and all means necessary. We already hear this out of the mouth of Mario Draghi, just going back to what's going on here with this whole Brexit thing here, and then the European Union. He said they will do anything possible. That means, again, trading in dark pools. For anyone that doesn't know what that is, these are private exchanges that are usually used by institutional investors to hide what they're doing. So I believe at this point, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that world central banks are using these private exchanges or these dark pools to actually buy stock. They're buying everything else, Craig. That's another thing I want people to understand that I find very disturbing. Why is it that right now world central banks are buying everything? We know for a fact that they're buying precious metals. We know for a fact that they're buying a government debt. We know for a fact, admittedly, by the ECB, they're buying corporate debt. I can tell you this, the Federal Reserve is going to start buying corporate debt too at one point. Yeah. They have no choice. They're going to continue to buy everything. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when world central banks are buying everything, Craig? They are keenly aware of what is going to happen. We are going to have, again, going back to my day one statement, an elimination, an extermination of the middle class will not exist anymore. They want to own it all, and they're going to before this whole thing happens. That's why we need to hold hard assets and get out of this system. It's that simple. So something very dark is going on here. I urge people to do their own research, as always, and come up with your own conclusion as to why you believe world central banks are buying everything.
And why exactly? All right. Next question comes from Jimbo. Wants to know if you've been participating in the mining shares this year through owning the shares or maybe owning options, and what do you think of them going forward?
Well, I haven't been buying them. I know they've performed stellarly as of late. I've been more sticking to the major market indices ETFs lately. I think that they are a good position to be in moving forward. So would I want to own them? Sure. Have I owned them in the past? Absolutely. So there's no doubt that I will in the future buy options on these things. Again, I always trade the underlying. I don't actually own any. Well, I can't say that totally, but I don't actually own any of these. I own the option to buy or sell them. Let's put it that way.
All right. Fair enough. I've got one more question pending at this point. So again, if anybody listening, you want to ask Greg his opinion on any sector or ideas or any kind of trading or hedging strategy, put it in and I'll add it to the list. But the one I have pending now comes from Fish. She says he has an impossible time trading Forex, which even I don't even try. I personally, how about you? Do you trade Forex and do you have a favorite Forex trade at present?
No, if I'm looking to trade a currency, I'm just going to use an ETF to do that. I think really it's probably easiest to do that. I don't have really any experience trading currencies like that. I know a lot of people that do, and they find it very challenging too. Even people that I know that have been doing it for many. Look, this whole business of trading is not easy. I don't care what anyone's going to say to you. It's it requires an enormous amount of work. It requires an enormous amount of failure, too. The only way for us to learn is to make errors. So if you're having errors trading Forex, I would have to say look at that as a positive thing. Because if you're determined to do to trade in the Forex market, you know, these mistakes are opportunities for you. And even today, look, I still make mistakes when I'm trading these markets here. And nothing ever, this is, you know, we're all speculators. And we all make mistakes. We all you got to try to get the emotion out of it. That's the biggest aspect. Maybe think of it this way, trade indicators. Forget about trading anything else. If you're looking to trade these markets because nothing is real, and I don't care what aspect, if you're looking at currency, if you're looking at debt, if you're looking at an ETF or whatever it might be, just think of it in these terms. You are trading indicators. You're not trading anything real. And that will take a lot of the emotion out of it for you. Even with that, it's when you're moving around large amounts of cash, it's hard not to be attached to it in a certain way, but you can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to disconnect yourself from it. You have to, again, gain the perspective that I'm going to trade these indicators. I'm not going to trade off of emotion. And that's where most people tend to make their biggest mistakes. The other place where people make their biggest mistakes, again, in trading anything, is they wait too long. And let me say this. There's a key to this that most people, no matter what they're trading, are going to make a huge mistake. And I talk about this all the time. When you're entering a position, whether it's in any market at all, Forex or whatever you want to do, you never, 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 and I can't stress that enough, never will put all your eggs in one basket. Let's say you feel really bullish about whatever it might be, and you've got 10 grand you want to throw in there. You're never going to do that. If you were to throw that entire amount into that one bet, you're making the cardinal error of all time. What you need to do is take up a small position initially, like a half position. This is how you minimize your loss. Let's say, okay, you're interested in this thing, whatever it might be. You have 10 grand. Let's say you put $5,000 into it. Now you watch the trade. You see which way it goes. If the trade goes against you, you close it right away with a minimal loss. If the trade begins to move in the direction you're confident it's going to go, then you add to it at that point. If you trade like this, you can be wrong half of the time or more and still make cash. You'll still make money. This is the key. It's all about understanding how to do these things. Again, taking emotion out of it. You can also hedge your bets too. And I don't talk about this too much, but the other way is to protect your bet. For example, I am now, again, long calls on SPY, September 2014 calls here. Now, I took up a hedge there, a small hedge position. Now, you can't, this is kind of fancy. It's very difficult to talk about here, but just to put it plainly, there's ways to hedge your bets as well so you don't lose cash. But the number one thing you got to know is take emotion out of it. That's probably number one. Number two, if a trade goes against you, don't stay in it and try to prove yourself right. You will get killed that way. And never, and I'm going to say it again, never, never take a whole huge sum of cash and throw it into one. I don't care how bullish or bearish you might be on it. You want to go long, you want to go short, never do this. This will kill you. Always a small initial position that you add to when it moves into the direction you believe is going to go. This way you minimize your losses, and you maximize your gains, and you could be wrong most of the time and still make money.
Excellent advice. I've got a couple of questions that have come flying in as soon as I mentioned that I didn't have any left, so I better jump right on them. I've got a question from Carl, who we refer to Martin Armstrong here as the jailbird. And for obvious reasons. And he says that the jailbird says that eventually big money will have no place to go but the U.S. equity markets and even gold to park their money and continue to push the markets in the future. Do you think there's some logic in that?
Well, absolutely. Let's think about this. I mean, right now they are so determined to keep this risk-on market going here that they're buying all of the debt. What they've done, very simply, is created an environment where there is nowhere else to go. They understand that they've done this deliberately. By suppressing these interest rates, they're encouraging people not to save, but to try to get them to spend, okay? So with that said, again, this the environment is risk on. It will not go on forever, no matter what they do. It's just going to distort things even worse and worse. And then you got the law of diminishing returns that we have to deal with at one point. Look, there is so much going on and so much that will go wrong with this scenario here moving forward that it just makes it so simple to understand where we need to be now. So if they're going to keep inflating the stock market, we'll let them do it. That's fine. Let's get on the right side of the trade and let's make it go. But again, at the same time, understanding we need to take the opposite side against the debt, and that means holding a hard asset. So it's very simple if you need to put it into those kind of terms. But I don't care what they do, and I'm just going to ride the wave no matter what they want. If they want to push the market higher, great. I'll ride it higher. If they're going to, you know, suppress precious metal prices, great. I'm going to buy more of it. So look at it, all of this, as opportunity. So many people say, hey, Greg, you know, you're a doomer, you're a gloomer. Absolutely not. It's about opportunity. That's what this all is. Yeah. But you can't sit there and blow sunshine up everyone's crack all the time and think everything's going to be fine, but it's not. Right. But again, the environment is creating opportunity, and that's what we need to capitalize on.
Josh has a follow-up question that fits in perfectly, and that's a good segue to it. He said, you mentioned being long and riding the wave. What is your target to exit the SPY or your options? He likes to use tools like MACD lines and RSI and stuff like that. Do you have a favorite set of tools that you use?
I do. My own trading platform, I tend to modify the indicators, though, so I can't say, you should go by this, you should go by that. All my indicators are modified for how I trade. I don't care. You could get two traders next to each other and trying to place the same trades. They might not actually get the same results because they interpret these things differently. It's all open to personal interpretation. This is why you need to develop your own understanding of how this all works here. My favorite indicator, the number one thing is avoid this. This is another major pitfall. Avoid the day-to-day action with regard to an equity's price. It doesn't matter. What you want to look at here is more of the longer-term trends. And you want to look at, like, moving averages, for example. That'll give you a better idea where things are moving forward. Look, I'm not a day trader. I hold these things for weeks. Usually, well, I do trade from time to time. It depends. But generally, I think of myself as a longer-term trader. Let's see, several weeks to a month or so, maybe longer. But generally, that's how I trade. So you're going to avoid looking at the day-to-day price action because what that will do is that'll cause anxiety. And what that will do is make you trade off of emotion. I want you to get that out. You got to trade those indicators. If you like the MACD, if it works for you, well, then you know what? Go ahead. You know, use the MACD in the way that it works for you. But there are so many indicators out here. When the Bollinger Bands are getting a big kick these days because Market Watch was talking about Bollinger Bands. Some people like to use Bollinger Bands. I happen to use them too to look at volatility here. But again, it's a mosaic where you have to put these things together in a perspective that you can understand them as an individual trying to get into these markets because not everyone interprets data in the same manner and can make sense of it. So again, there's going to be a lot of trial and error here. We all go through this. Everyone who tries to get into these markets and start trading these is going to make huge amount of mistakes, but learn from them. Say, okay, well, you know what? I did this. It didn't work. Why didn't it work? And then reevaluate the situation and then move forward. And that's it. I think that's the best way to understand this.
You've answered the next question, which was from Doug, about being longer term only and not necessarily day trading. So I'll move on to the next one. From Sanford, he says he likes your website. So you used to keep a list of your closed position, but he couldn't find them anymore where it would be listing. He thought that was very helpful. Do you still do that? Is he missing it someplace, or how does that work?
It was growing too big. So what I do now is I have my current positions. Like if you were to go to my website, traderschoice.net, click on the tab on top called the money page, and then you scroll down, you'll see the exact positions that I'm holding, which I just went over here on the show here. And right underneath that, I have my trades, how many I've done and how many were successful. Right now, I'm definitely running below where I usually run. I'm running around, I think it's 58 or 59% of my trades are successful, which is actually phenomenal.
Yeah.
If you consider what I was saying earlier, by you minimize your loss and you maximize your gains. I usually run better than that. I usually run closer to 70%, which is actually, I think, as good as anyone can ever do. So I'm running a little below where I usually do. Why that happens, I'm not really sure. I've also run above that 70% at times, but I've been running below it for the past, I have to say, for at least the past 2 months, which is somewhat frustrating. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong here. But I think it's just a matter of, again, maybe even for myself, trying to get emotion out of it. We all get a little emotional, even me. And then I say, okay, Greg, you're trading indicators. You're not trading reality. You're trading indicators. And that takes a lot of the anxiety away from it. And I think in this environment what will help as well is having a little hedge position there, a small position, like maybe let's say like a 1-8, let's say you have 8 open calls, let's just say arbitrarily, you might want to have 1 put option there as well, but you also want to put this into, you're not going to have the same strike price or the same expiration date. If you're going to do it like that, have a look at my website again, how I placed that trade there. For example, real quick, I bought a September 214 calls on SPY, and then I hedged it with a July 206 put. The reason why I did that, again, using a smaller position as well, it will act very, very quickly and very volatile in either direction that it will go, so it will kind of make up for any loss you might have. This is getting a little bit fancy here, but it might help people to hedge their positions in a little. Think of it as an insurance policy. Let's put it that way. You own a car. You go out and you buy yourself a $70,000 Mercedes. You're going to have an insurance policy to preserve it, right? So think of it, of every hedge like that is a small insurance policy. You know, a lot of these are going to expire worthless, but that's okay. Let them expire worthless. If that happened, that means you made money on the long end of the, let's say, on the long call, if you had a protective put there. Again, this is complicated. There's no doubt about it. And maybe at one point I'll get really deep into, even on my own website, talking about how to do all this stuff. But again, people have to learn from their own mistakes as well. Right. You can tell people anything. And they until they actually cross that line and make the error, they're not going to learn it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I talked to so many traders and people, oh, no, this happened. No. I say, well, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Just think of it as a positive thing. That something good will come out of.
That's right. I've got one last question, then we'll get to the final four and wrap things up. But this is a comebacker from Carl, who just wants to know what you think about crude at this point, here around $50.
Crude oil, yeah. Well, we saw what they did with crude oil. It's incredible, the manipulation of it, the actual, how they, when it was $28 a barrel, I was out here screaming, they're not going to allow this to continue any lower. And they're going to do something to push it higher. What did they do, Craig? They introduced speculation into the market that, oh, there's going to be a production cut. I came out publicly and said, no way, there's not going to be a production cut. But what they did, the mainstream financial channels, they started pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and that caused speculators to jump in and start bidding it higher. And then it started to top out. And then when it started to top out, we had this... this wildfire in Canada. And then the next day after that, we had the Saudi oil prince get ousted. That put a floor under it too. So this just proves, and it should be very obvious to people, that they will do anything and everything that they need to do, which includes, again, those dark pools, which is illegal for a world central bank to do it, but I'm sure they are, to get into the market and prop this up. But again, they're not going to allow this to fall in the United States here, especially because of this presidential election cycle. Unless there's some type of a black swan event, world central banks are going to continue to create this environment of risk here. And we're just gonna ride the wave, period.
And one last question that did come in, I'm going to go ahead and ask it of you because I think it's interesting myself. What do you think of Deutsche Bank? Do you fiddle around with that? Have you watched how it's traded here in the last, actually all of 2016?
Absolutely. There's a lot of rumors going around here. Look, let me say this. The entire system is insolvent. And how can we prove this? Again, go to the Federal Reserve's own website. There are $11 trillion apparently in U.S. deposits from you and me in these banks, and meanwhile, there's only $1.4 trillion in cash available. So the system is fake. The system is not real. The system is insolvent. It's not just Deutsche Bank. It's all, they're all in the same boat.
Right.
And they're operating off of this of credit and debt. And in the event that there would be a bank run, people will get nothing. Zero. There's going to be a cash shortage at one particular time because, again, all that exists is that $1.4 trillion. So we'll see how that plays out. This is why ATMs are going to not work at one point. Maybe the only thing that will be accepted will be either a precious metal or actual cash. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I can tell you that the system is toxic. The system is corrupt. The system is insolvent. So this is not just an issue with Deutsche Bank. They're all in the same boat. The Federal Reserve is insolvent. Forget it. They're all broke. The system itself is broke.
Use your remaining time accordingly, we like to say, because that's a certain – how long they can keep the plate spinning, we don't know, but we do know eventually they're going to crash. Greg, this has been extraordinarily valuable. And we really appreciate you sharing your time with us. We have a tradition around here, though, as we wrap up. I got the final four, just four quickies that you can usually answer in, a word or a sentence or something. You know, it's just kind of a fun way to end. Can I if you're ready, can I lay them on you?
Let's do it.
First, I had to kick one of mine out and add this one. This one came in from Dirt Reynolds, and we're going to count this as one of the final four. He said, when are you going to change your name to Greg the Man Norino?
That's funny. I am so not the man. I'm just a dude out here trying to talk to people and try to make them understand, just like you, Craig, that things are just so frankly bleeped up that it's incredible.
Yeah.
And again, I want us all to capitalize on this. I want us all to understand how we can make it work for us and not against us.
As most folks know, I like to kind of tailor the final four to geographically to where the guest lives. And Greg lives out near Vegas. So Greg, it was 115 degrees yesterday. Is it okay, though, because it's a dry heat?
It's an oven, man. Help me. Help. Get me out of here. No, it's hot, man. It's really hot.
All right, lots of good eating options in Vegas. All kinds of celebrity chefs and all that stuff. What's the best restaurant in Vegas for the next time I'm there?
Oh, I'm going to give you a big shout-out to Morton Steakhouse, man. I know it's a franchise, but I just happen to love the one. There's only one out here in Vegas. I go there all the time. I know all the people that work there. Mark, a big shout-out to you. If you're listening to this, I don't know if you are. But the place is absolutely top-notch. You will not be disappointed if you go to Morton Steakhouse Las Vegas.
Great wine list, too. And lastly, you ever gone up to the top of the stratosphere and ridden the roller coaster?
I have been to the top of the stratosphere. I have not ridden that roller coaster, but I have been on the Big Shot, and I'll tell you, it is a life-changing event. When you're on that thing, that Big Shot, and that's pushing you up to the top, and you're looking straight down at that thing, you really think you're going to die. I screamed like a little girl. I'm not going to lie. I will never do it again. I can promise you.
There are some things that we will never rule out. Like we could talk with certainty, relative certainty, that Brexit is not going to win today. But, you always think there might be a 1% chance. There's all kinds of stuff like that. There is a 0% chance you'll get me on that Big Shot. I can tell you that right now.
It's wild, man. Let me tell you. It's a life-changing event.
Gives me the creeps even thinking about it. All right, my friend. This is awesome. Tell everybody again. It's traderschoice.net, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I just put up a chat room there. It's pretty cool. Turd, Craig, if you would show up there and just say hello, I guarantee you that you would have a major amount of positive feedback. Again, right on the front page of traderschoice.net, I do have a chat room there. It's free. Just go over there and start. There's a lot of cool people there that understand what's going on, like-minded people. That's what we need to do, start communities like this. So go check it out,
traderschoice.net. When I make this link public tomorrow, I'll make sure I stop by there and post it for everybody.
People will love it, dude. If you showed up on there, I think people would go crazy.
Yeah, if they only knew. All right, my friend. Awesome. Hey, best of luck. It's going to be a crazy overnight. and a crazy day tomorrow. Best of luck, but thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule today to stop by Turdville.
It's been great. Thank you.
All right, my friend. Hey, and everybody, thanks for listening. We'll do this again next week.